Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government. Not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Mary Jacobs joining us now. She is founder of the Woman's Accelerator and author of Sales Strategies for New Women Entrepreneurs, Successfully Transitioning from Employee to Entrepreneur. So Mary, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it very much. I am a small business owner. I want to make sure I get that out to you. I've been self-employed since I was 22 years of age, so I very much enjoy and appreciate folks like yourself that encourage others to do what I've done for a very long time. I know it's not for everyone, but In this particular time of COVID, is it a time to launch a business?
You know what? I really think that it is, and I've had a lot of conversations with a number of people over the last several weeks and months asking that same question, like, is this the time for people to start a business? And I really do think that it is. And my book that I wrote is particularly focused on women and women entrepreneurs in their 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Okay.
That's where I do a lot of my work. And I think some women might feel, and men, that depending on their age and their career, that maybe this is the time for them to do their own thing.
And it may very well be. And I understand from doing this very many years, it's not for everyone. It's not as glamorous as it always may seem, but I also know that the rewards are great. The risk is great, but the reward is great as well. That's how it works.
I totally agree with you. And I think sometimes people have to step into it and see if it's a good fit and then realize that, maybe I'm meant to be an employee and not an entrepreneur. But I think this time with so many people losing their jobs right now, this might be the actual best time to really start to think about, can I execute on an idea that I've had for a long time?
Well, the plus side to it right now, and I coach, other clients of mine, I coach other businesses along these same lines as well. And what I do know right now, Mary, is the one plus that we have going, and I know that there's folks out there listening that may or may not agree with me on this, but right now money is cheap. If there's ever a time to actually try to do something and get something started from a financial standpoint, it's about as cheap on that end of it as it's ever been.
You know what, I would agree, and I would also give you my perspective that I think the growth of the gig economy is going to explode. So as corporations continue to lay off, they may not be hiring back in mass in the next year or two, and so there is going to be opportunity, though, to go work as a contractor and to actually be able to build your own business that way as well.
And for folks that are listening, just as a side note, and I know these are, I don't want to get off in the weeds because most people, Mary, wouldn't understand, kind of the direction I'm headed. But when you go from being an employee to a contractor, there are, if you do it correctly, and there's ways to do it, incorrectly and correctly, but if you do it the correct way, there are ways to actually help yourself out tax-wise when it's all said and done that you don't get as an employee.
You're correct about that. But, one of the things that people want to be really aware of is when you become self-employed, you want to stay on top of your taxes because you don't want to get caught at the end of the year and you haven't paid any self-employment taxes.
That's right.
So there's really a lot of good resources out there for people as well to learn about this or to consult. I've been a SCORE counselor for 14 years and have worked with hundreds of people through the years. And, part of the offerings from that is that information, that education about how to learn about what exactly is part of being a business owner so that you're prepared and you don't get caught off guard at the end of the year because that would
be
difficult.
No, you need to understand, depending upon what business you get into, to your point, you need to understand your laws, some of the regulations that may go with that particular business or not in some cases, depending upon the business that you're actually getting into, the financial end of things. And I would encourage, just as a side note, I don't know what you would say on this, Mary, but if you're somebody that's thinking about doing any of this at all, there's lots and lots of resources, to your point, out there to even learn some of the basics of not just accounting, but, you know, how does this whole tax thing work and what do I need to do to make sure that you're on top of it? Because if there's one thing that I continue to coach on a regular basis, Mary, even folks that have been doing it for a very long time, is are they handling that end of it correctly? And honestly, most don't.
I would agree with you. And then they get caught flat-footed at the end of the year and they have a big tax bill and they think, well, what happened? Why wasn't I better prepared? And, you know, and you really do learn a lot, probably, John, in your practice when you're consulting and working with these startups and new businesses, is that they're learning so much that first year.
Yep.
And it's trial and error.
Yep.
And they're going to learn sometimes the hard way that first year, and by the time they get into their second year and beyond, they're going to be that much better prepared. But sometimes they've made mistakes, and that's how they learn better.
Well, no, and that's exactly right. There's this, I think partly why, in asking you this, partly why some folks don't get into business for themselves is they're so fearful of that failure aspect of things. But frankly, to your point, Mary, some of the best ways to learn is through those failures, because you won't do it again.
I totally agree with that.
And it's hard for some folks, though, to, how do I want to say this? There's a fear of failure, and they just don't want to do it. And folks listening, yes, you have to have some thick skin, because the reality is you're going to get judged by other people, family, friends, and so on. I never would have done that. I think you're crazy for doing that. You know, I've heard it all, Mary, over the years. And the reality is it's just part of doing it.
I agree with you, John. You know, and lucky for people like you and for people like me that can be a resource and a mentor so that they can ask us, you know, what did we learn in our journey to entrepreneurship? Because it isn't for everybody. But the ones that can stick it out, you know, oftentimes I think sometimes people quit right when they're on the cusp of being successful.
Agree.
And that's hard. But, you know, sometimes you don't have enough money in the bank to bankroll yourself, right? You've got... Sometimes you get right at that cusp, and then you realize, like, gosh, I just don't have enough to make it. So, by the way, you know, starting a part-time business is not a bad idea either.
No.
You know, that you can really test the waters and
that's
see
right.
if you can make it.
That's right. No, and in that particular case, you don't usually have to have quite as much funding, and or you've got other funding coming in that sort of help with that. Now, I will also say this for everybody listening. Being self-employed involves a four-letter word, work. You have to work. If you don't know how to work and put in some hours to make that happen, Mary, you'll never see the rewards.
I 100% agree with you. And one of the things that I talk a lot to the women that I work with is the importance of writing a business plan, too.
Yes.
So for some people, they can just start, you know, people talk about, I started on the back of a napkin, and that was my concept, and I was able to build a business. But for most people, they really do need to write the business plan and the discipline of a business plan, which is oftentimes an eye-opener when they're talking about really clearly describing their product and their service. Who's
yes.
their competition?
Yes.
How are they going to price their product? How are they going to market and sell? What's their online presence? So I think it's really important to write a business plan. If
yes.
that's probably what you advise your people.
Yes, it is. No, in fact, I'll take old businesses, I should say, or businesses that are that are already existing, and go through the same thing. You know, one of the things I always ask a new business when I bring one on is this, and by the way, Mary, most folks can't answer this. Well, I shouldn't say it this way. They answer it, but the wrong way. You'll ask them, who's your customer?
Yeah.
And you already know what I'm going to say. The answer usually is, well, everyone. No, everyone's not your customer. Who is your core customer, and who are you going after? Because guess what? You can't market to everyone.
I agree with that. And I think that's sometimes what you find out the hard way, because you're trying to find stickiness too, right? That
yes.
first year. And like, who will buy my product or who will buy my service? And you're right, not everybody, because you could spread yourself so thin, you have literally no traction. So by doing the work, like what you're talking about, the four-letter word, doing the work,
right.
and sitting down and being really smart and strategic about your business and writing the business plan
yes.
and figuring your strategy, who potentially are your strategic partners? You know, who could make a difference? Who could you align with
yep.
that could help you grow your business, and vice versa? You could help them grow their business.
I think some of the mistakes that I see happening, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, but what I see is a lot of folks that have worked for someone else, and they think, oh, I can do it better than they can. So they jump out, they hop into business, and they soon realize that, oh, I guess this is a whole lot harder than I thought, mainly because they didn't even do some of the things that you just mentioned a moment ago. They're underfunded. They don't know who their core customers are. They don't even maybe know what their core product is. They just figure, hey, I've done X. I can go do it better than the person that I worked for. Well, maybe you can, but you better make sure you're step-by-step approaching it in a way that when you get there, you know exactly what you're doing.
You are spot on with that. And I often tell people, too, it takes longer than you expect to be successful.
Yes.
It's going to take you more money than you expected to be successful. And if you're coming out of a corporate career, which a lot of people are right now that are considering starting a business, you know, you've got that background. You've got that cachet if you've worked for a Fortune 500 company or a, you know, highly visible company or organization. And now when you go out on your own and you're starting from scratch, even though you've got your network, I think what's shocking to people sometimes that first year is that people don't return phone calls as easily.
That's right.
They don't return the emails, right?
That's right.
So you've got to realize that
that's right.
You have to build your brand. You've got
that's
to be
right.
really competent and confident about who you are and your outcomes that you're going to deliver to your yep. customers. So there's a lot of surprises.
There is.
And the better prepared they can be, the better they're going to be to have a sustainable company.
And again, folks, we're talking to Mary Jacobs, founder of the Woman's Accelerator, author of Sales Strategy for New Women Entrepreneurs Successfully Transitioning from Employee to Entrepreneur. One thing I would also add to what you just said a minute ago, Mary, is, and I've seen this numerous times, is, you know, there's always those folks out there that when you're working for someone else and you kind of mention, you know, I'm thinking about going out on my own, and if I did, you know, would you be interested in chatting? And here's what I will tell a lot of people listening. There's a lot of lip service in our world. In other words, they may say, oh, yeah, come see me when you start your own deal. That may be all it ends up being is lip service, because guess what? Loyalty typically sticks with companies, not necessarily individuals.
You're right, but don't you think too, John, in this current COVID world that we're living in right now with, you know, mass layoffs and the dynamics are changing of companies, I do think that this is really a good opportunity. If people
no, I agree.
Can,
yes.
It's a good opportunity.
Yeah, if there's ever a time where some of that may not be lip service and they may actually mean what they say, would be now, because there's so many people. In fact, I think this is something that big companies need to really pay close attention to, is when you send, this is maybe something that you could even get into more so than me. I've got so many things going on, I can never do it. But maybe a book even needs to be written along these lines of, hey, if you're a corporation and you've now got all your people working from home, do you really know what they're working on at all times and who else they're trying to get work done for? In other words, are your employees going to be as loyal not coming into an office every day?
You know, that's a great point, and it's been interesting. The articles that I've been reading and conversations, I just had a conversation this afternoon with a Fortune 500 company about that. And by their productivity rates, they're seeing as good or better productivity than if they were in the corporate setting. So I think the trust factor is really important. And people think we're a little fatigued, right, of working from home,
yep.
and it looks like we might be at home for several more months, hard
right.
to tell at this point. But I would hope that someone is a good, trusted employee, right? And if they're working on a business, they're doing it on their own time and they're not doing it, you know, on the corporate
well said.
Payroll.
No, well said.
I'd like to add a point if I could.
Yeah, no, go right ahead. You're fine.
Corporation. Supplier diversity is a topic, and when I work with women in particular, it really is an opportunity for women, minorities, veterans, that a lot of small businesses don't know about. And so a corporation, you know, we say Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, and other companies all have goals to work with more women, minorities,
true.
Veterans,
true.
LGBTQ. And what I would encourage women when I teach my classes is to really to take a look at any company's supplier diversity. So when you're on their website and you go into the search box and you put supplier diversity in, they will have, if they have a strong supplier diversity program, it's going to be listed there with their requirements. And supplier diversity could be a big part
well
of
said.
A company strategy, right?
Yes.
That they get to, but a lot of people don't know about that. I'm always really surprised when I bring up and I teach around this topic how very little information people have. And I think someone should always evaluate that, if that should be a big part of their strategy. And for some, it could be, you know, 80% of their business.
Oh, it could be
for
huge.
Others,
No. And I've never, just as a side note, and being a white male, never have had that ability to have some yeah. of those things that are out there. So, yes, Mary, if they're available to you and you fit that criteria, by all means, use it.
And the programs, the certifications are reasonable. The networking that comes from being a,
yes.
a certified, like a women's business enterprise,
right.
a WBE.
That's right.
You know, these corporations will host events where they want to talk about their supplier diversity program. So then you get to network with the supplier diversity professionals.
Well said.
Yeah, and then you get a chance, right,
yep.
to talk about your company and make a connection, and hopefully something good will come from that.
That's right. Well said. Mary, what's a website folks can go and learn more about you?
It's at www.thewomensaccelerator, and it's excelerator.com.
Great. Mary, I'd love to have you back. It's great talking to you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your time as well.
Very well. Let's move on. Mary Jacobs, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And again, folks listening, go to our website, find out if maybe it's a time where you would like to launch a new endeavor. Affordable interest mortgages next. Kurt Rogers. I said earlier that Kurt is really busy, and I know that firsthand. He's just got a lot going on right now, which is a good thing. You can imagine how busy he is given the fact that interest rates are as low as they are. So if you're thinking about doing anything with your mortgage at all, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair is next. They want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs, but most importantly, your air conditioning, which you need all year long, not just in the summertime. So whether it's tires, they'll sell you tires at cost, by the way, or air conditioning, they've got a great special on that as well. You can make all of your appointments online at extremeautorepair.com or by calling 303-841-1071.
Head to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker before you leave on your road trip and get your vehicle checked for free. In the past few months, you've been putting off vehicle maintenance because you've been a little more worried about money than usual, and for good reason. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will never use scare tactics or try to pressure you into repairs that you don't need. However, they do want to help you plan ahead to avoid bigger expenses down the road. Yes, your brake pads might last a little longer, but you don't want to pay to replace those rotors. Right now, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will gladly give you advice for free about which repairs should happen sooner and which ones could wait for another day. Call 303-841-1071 or visit extremeautorepair.com now. Be sure to tell Mike and Dave at the front desk that you listen to Rush to Reason when you ask for your free trip inspection, including 27 items checked this month only, not valid with any other offer. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises kept.
Well, it's that time of year again where we're all getting prepared for the upcoming hunting season. Hi, this is Scott Watley with Sportsman of Colorado. Tune in each week and we'll bring you local experts in archery, muzzle loading, and rifle hunting. Looking for a place to hunt? We've got you covered. Want to book a trophy deer or elk hunt with a reliable outfitter? We can help. For the anglers, we'll give you a fishing report each week. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado, Saturdays at 1 p.m. right here on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Representative Patrick Neville joining us now. Patrick, how are you this week, sir?
Hey, not bad. How about yourself, John?
I'm well. Are you better than last week?
Yeah, certainly. Still stuff going on like crazy, and state's still not in order. And
But
definitely better personally than I was than last week.
No, we are not. In fact, we continue to have a governor that does nothing but just cast stones and throw name calling calls us names, I guess, on a regular basis.
That's right. And what we're seeing too, even like with this, they're finally sweeping that tent city in front of the Capitol.
Finally, I saw that.
And then he won't give any answers on whether or not he was talking to Tay Anderson right before all that scuffle happened, whether or not he ordered it or did Denver order it. And quite frankly, I'm just sitting back going, can someone please take charge? I think everyone wants those crazy tent cities to go away.
Yes, they do.
They see them as a true health hazard. We need some true leadership on this issue. And then you're willing to go out there and keep mask-shaming folks left and right, but you're not willing to actually take charge in a true what could be a true health hazard, not to mention the violence that's actually being done.
Yeah, unreal.
There were several, and finally, I'm happy to hear that there were some people arrested last night. Now I just really hope the Denver DA, Beth McCann, does her job and prosecutes some of those folks.
You can only hope. And, of course, what we saw last Saturday on 225, to your point, Patrick, we need some leadership in this state. We really, at this point, other than some of our, you know, you and some of your counterparts, we really have none. We have none from the governor's office whatsoever. The only plus side to all of that, by the way, just as a side note, talked about this a little bit earlier with another listener, is at one point in time, I thought maybe Jared Polis would be a run for president on down the road, but he's proving more and more that that's never going to happen.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. And then he's got the full-on propaganda machine going forward when they're trying to call the Denver Post, trying to call it Trumpville. Really, does anyone – I don't think anyone can honestly believe that those tent cities were a result of Trump or any of his policies.
No,
it was Polis and Mayor Hancock, quite frankly, who's been in there for – almost a decade now.
Yes.
Is really at fault. For
the tent cities, really, I can't even fault Polis on that one. I mean, yeah, he's the governor, but the reality is the tent cities have come from Hancock. You know that as well as anybody else does out there. That, yeah, you cannot blame that on Trump. Those things were happening long before Donald Trump ever became president.
That's right. And here we have, you know, Kay Anderson going so far left that he's saying that, you know, Michael Hancock needs to resign. I mean, this is the Democrat Party that we're seeing it today. Like, that. Mayor Michael Hancock is not liberal enough for the Democrat Party. We need to go full socialist, full communist. That's what they're asking.
That's what they're wanting. What you just said is exactly right, Patrick. They want to go full communism, and that's exactly what they want. They've got not just one council member, but multiple now that are down that on that track. But the reality is, we're seeing this coast to coast. It's not just folks listening. This is not just a Denver or a Colorado issue. You are seeing the left do this from coast to coast.
That's exactly right. And you see it, you know, in the protests and everything else. And this is, you know, what's quite scary to me is you're not seeing a single so-called mainstream Democrat condemn any of these things happening.
Nope.
So, like, when I was attacked and others were attacked, it was by the socialist, you know, party here in Colorado. And, of course, not a single Democrat came out and condemned that or questioned that. There was one that personally called me to make sure I was okay, and I'm not going to give out his or her name, because they would just be violently destroyed within the Democrat Party because they wouldn't meet that purity test that the Democrat Party now needs.
Correct. Yeah, and to your point, Patrick, we're not seeing this even from, you know, Joe Biden as being their top candidate, quote-unquote. You know, you see him flip-flopping on whether or not to even defund police or not. You know, one week he says defund them, the next week he says, no, I didn't mean that. I mean, you've got that from the top down. They are the way I look at it, they are a complete disarray as a party.
Oh, without a doubt. And they've gone so far left and so extremist that there really is no middle left in that party. I mean, we're seeing people, come on, if Michael Hancock, literally Michael Hancock,
isn't left enough?
I find extremely liberal, isn't left enough for you? I don't know what is.
I know.
I mean, J.D. Ibaka, like an admitted, you know, communist socialist, like that's what they're looking for now?
I don't know.
But that seems to be the trend the Democrat Party's going.
I think that you are 100% correct. The reality is, folks, in this state, we've got a lot of cleanup to do. We need to do every single thing possible that we can, you know, Patrick, to not only make sure that you continue to stay where you're at, but we get other folks on your side. We've got to take this thing back. And I know it's going to be tough to take the House back, but we at least need to get the Senate back so we can get some balance back in this state. And I really hope in this next election we can potentially do that. We know we're probably, unless we get a recall effort really going strong, we're stuck with Polis for another 2 years. The reality is we've got to get some sort of balance back in the legislature here in this state.
We do, and the Senate's going to be hard to take back, too, just because of the way their map worked out. But
I know.
What we need, too, is true fighters. I mean, we've seen it in the House. Like, every time that we actually stand up and we actually start pushing back really hard, that's when they actually come to the table and they kind of say, okay, what amendments can we get to at least make you be quiet and sit down and then talk for a little bit? Instead of just, you know, pulling every procedural move we have in the book, and that's what we've done in the past. But it's funny because there's a lot of Republicans out there that are saying, oh, well, we just need Republicans to be kind of more soft and quiet, and if that happens, that'll fix everything. That's not the case.
We don't want that.
Quite frankly, the Republicans, now the time is to stand up as Republicans. Well said. Need to be loud and vocal.
Well said.
We can't be the silent majority anymore. We've got to be the vocal majority.
That's exactly right. Well said. Good stuff. Patrick, with that, we'll talk to you next week, and let's get you a little earlier next week so we can have a little more to talk about. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks. Sounds great. Patrick, I appreciate it very much. Representative Patrick Neville up next, Mighty Hand Construction. They're hiring. Don't forget that. On the same token, they'll come out and do a free roof inspection. You name it, they're there for you, including remodels as well. MightyHandConstruction.com, 970-844-9191.
We at KLZ confidently endorse Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction, because we know that when you hire Mighty Hand, you will receive exactly the kind of service that we promised you on the radio. Most contractors, when they come up with advertising, think about what their customers want to hear. Micah and his team focus on how they can represent themselves accurately. That's why Micah puts such a strong emphasis on hiring character first. So he knows how every customer will be treated, whether or not he's personally involved. At Mighty Hand, their passion and dedication are more than just lip service. Their number one goal is to be who they say they are. Entrust your roofing and construction projects in northern Colorado to Micah and his team at Mighty Hand Construction. We know they'll prove to be exactly who they say they are. Go to klzradio.com/mightyhand now. Honoring God, impacting customers.
All right, Purify Chevrolet, where you can go buy a new or used vehicle. It's like going back in time to buy a car. Don't forget you can get your GM vehicle fixed in the service department there as well. In Fort Lupton, not much of a drive, 303-659-8311. Find new roads at PurifyChevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purifoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purifoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Just tap the app, the KLZ 560 app, available free for iPhone and Android.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's rounding up Joel Pollack for us. He is senior editor-at-large of Breitbart. He's got a new book out, or actually had a book out for a little while called Red November, Will the Country Vote Red for Trump or Blue for Socialism? We'll talk to him about that here in just a few minutes as Charlie gets him up and running. In the meantime, there is a Wisconsin lawmaker, a Democrat Wisconsin lawmaker, that was actually beaten by rioters in Wisconsin as he actually stopped to film them destroying property, mainly towards the Capitol building, I believe. And not good when your own party actually is against you. So we'll talk more about that as we go along. Joel Pollack joining us now, though I just introduced him a moment ago. Joel, welcome. How are you, sir?
I am great, John. You know, this is a very special interview for me because it's my 100th interview.
Wow.
My book, Red November.
Right
exactly
on.
100. Yeah.
Right on. Well, congratulations. It's good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So let's get into that. Let's talk about that for a little bit. So Red November, will the country vote red for Trump? Let's talk about that. And, you know, again, from you being the senior editor at large at Breitbart, where do you see us headed when it comes with all this?
Well, let's first of all look at what the consequences are.
Okay.
If we have a red November, that is, if the Democrats sweep, which they now seem to think they're going to do, and now they're letting all the cats out of the bags. Obama spoke at John Lewis's funeral.
Saw that.
He gave a eulogy, mostly pretty tame stuff, very nice, great civil rights leader, etc. And then Obama lets loose and says they've got to eliminate the filibuster, which is one of the only protections the minority party has in the Senate. And he says we've got to make D.C. a state and Puerto Rico, and we've got to push through all these changes. It's exactly what I talk about in Red November. The Democrats are preparing, if they win, the most left-wing government in the history of the United States, and that's what's at stake in November.
No, you're right. By the way, you can buy the book on Amazon. It's really easy. Just, you know, just go there, type in Joel's name, you'll find it. That's really the easiest way. Or just type in Red November, you'll find it that way as well. No, and I agree with you. They will pull out all stops and make sure that this country is more so, what did Obama used to say? That, you know, we want to fundamentally transform America. Well, let me tell you what, if they win in November, it'll be fundamentally transformed like we've never seen it before.
Well, it's not just Obama. Now Biden is saying that.
That's right.
And just keep in mind, when Obama used the words fundamentally transforming the United States of America, it was 5 days before the election, and most people knew he was going to win. When Biden says it, he's saying it now. He's saying it months before an election. It's part of his platform. He's saying that we're a systemically racist country. He talks about, this is a direct quote, revolutionary institutional changes. Now, who talks like that? He's starting to sound like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And I write about that in Red November, how the party got so far to the left. Some of it is actually pretty funny. I mean, there's one point in the debate where Julian Castro says that transgender women have a right to an abortion. Of course, transgender women are biologically male.
Yeah, they're men.
So they don't have uteruses,
right?
So you can't have an abortion. But, you know, it's funny, but that's how far off the reservation, so to speak, the Democratic Party has gone.
Do you see them ever changing course, or do you see it even getting worse on that side?
It gets worse if they win, because they will look at the last several months and say, we rioted, we attacked federal law enforcement, we talked about fundamental transformation, and we got voted in. So this is going to work again. Just keep fomenting insurrection, keep the protests out there, the riots, keep pursuing radical revolutionary agendas, and we'll win. Now, if they lose, then you start to have a conversation. If Trump wins and the Democrats lose, you start to have a conversation within the Democratic Party where they say to one another, you know, maybe we went too far. Maybe this is just too much. And it was very interesting to me, watching that John Lewis funeral, that Bill Clinton, who many remember as more of a moderate, even though at heart he was a liberal, he moved to the center.
Right.
It was interesting to hear Bill Clinton talk about John Lewis and say, you know, John Lewis believed in nonviolence, and John Lewis believed in persuading the other side, persuading people. Stokely Carmichael, one of the Black Panthers, beat John Lewis in an election in their organization, in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And Stokely Carmichael won, and so the movement went in a radical direction, and most people would agree, I'm just paraphrasing Bill Clinton, but not by much, most people would agree that didn't work and that John Lewis's approach was the better one.
Hmm.
Now, that's the kind of conversation you have if Democrats lose. They start to think, well, maybe we shouldn't be so radical. I think Bill Clinton is trying to warn his party that they're going off the deep end, but they're not listening right now. And, you know, just a few minutes after Clinton, Obama got up there and talked about ending the filibuster and making new states and all that stuff. So we are facing a really, really important election.
We
are. The most important since 1864 when we had an election in the middle of the Civil War.
No, I agree with you on that, Joel. I mean, I know we say it every year, and it's sort of cliche-ish to just say, wow, this is the most important election coming up. Yeah, we say it all the time, but the reality is this one really is, because I firmly believe if we don't win this one, you may just well kiss conservatism goodbye, because I doubt if we'll ever have another conservative president after that.
Well, you can kiss America goodbye. I mean, they're going to change America.
Yeah.
I mean, we will still be here. Make no mistake. We're going to keep fighting every day, no matter what happens. But it does become a lot harder. They want to change America. They want to change the structure of government. When they get rid of the filibuster now that they're promising to do it, they're going to push through illegal aliens getting citizenship and voting rights. That's going to be 11 million new voters, most of whom will vote Democrat. Then they're going to push through Medicare for All or whatever version of it they want to call it. They're going to push that through. They're going to pack the courts. They're already talking about it. They're going to add two new Supreme Court justices and fill them with liberals. It's going to be irreversible in that sense unless there's an even greater victory for conservatives somewhere down the road. It becomes so much harder, though, if they make Puerto Rico a state, they make D.C. a state, because then you've got four new Democratic senators. Those states will just bring Democrats to the Congress. And it then becomes almost impossible for Republicans to win a majority ever again.
I agree.
So the Democrats are trying to change the rules of the game. They don't just want to take power and govern. They
don't want to just win the game. They want to change the rules of the game so they win it from this point forward.
Right, and that's precisely what they're doing, because they know that their policies in the past, in 2016, did not appeal to working men and women in America of all races and backgrounds. So they just went off the radical deep end and said, we don't want to have to listen to these voters. We want to just change the way the system works so that we only have to listen to our voters. And they got their voters very excited and agitated with all of these riots and all of this radicalism. And Bernie Sanders has affected Joe Biden so much that Joe Biden is running to the left. He has yet to make that pivot people talk about. He's just trying to keep the Bernie Sanders people on board. Not that it's very easy. By the way, Bernie Sanders' former spokesperson, Nina Turner, said a few days ago that voting for Joe Biden was like eating a bowl of
I saw that. I saw that.
And that's how the left feels about
how
Joe
Biden.
They don't like him.
That's right.
That's why he's running after them, and he's going to appease them in any way he can.
I really think, and Joel, get your opinion on this, but I really think they're making a grave mistake in some of their approach here, because I really feel like, and I could be completely wrong, but I really feel like they're getting tired. I explained this the other day. It's sort of like that nagging wife that you just constantly listen to, and you finally get to the point where you're like, you know what, just shut up. And I kind of feel like they're the nagging wife now of the country. And literally, even people in kind of the left of center even are getting to the point where, like, you know, we're tired of watching all this stuff. We're tired of hearing about it. We get it now. Shut up.
Well, I would maybe reverse the gender roles, and not in a transgender way, but it's just sort of in a metaphorical way, just to take your metaphor. You know, they are like the abusive husband.
Okay.
And the voters, unfortunately, some voters are like the spouse who is mistreated over and over again. And the danger is that voters will just give in and say, you know what, you've abused me enough, I give up.
Okay.
You keep punishing me. We had the lockdowns and the shutdowns. Then we had the riots. I'll do anything you want. Just make it go away. Just make it stop. And that's how Democrats are pitching their platform to the American people. And the Never Trumpers are saying it openly. They're saying, listen, if you want this rioting to stop, just vote for Joe Biden and it'll stop the day after the election. And they don't mean it in a ironic, humorous way.
No, they mean it seriously.
Yeah. So they're extorting the American people. Mm. They're abusing the American people and hoping that enough of us are crushed and beaten down that we're just going to say, okay, you know, you do what you want. And then the abuse will just continue. It'll continue after the election.
Sure, doesn't
There's
go away.
There's no way this settles down if Joe Biden wins. The Democrats will learn, if they succeed, that they should do it again.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm more right than you are in this particular case, because I don't want to have what you just said happen.
Right.
But, you know, time will tell. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say. I don't know.
Right. Well, none of us can, but I do think that there's more Trump support out there than you're seeing in the polls.
I agree.
People are afraid. I just got a message from a friend who told me he's a Trump supporter. I had no idea. Literally no idea. I knew this person in a professional context, would never have guessed. And there are a lot of people out there who will not say what they really think because they pay a professional price, a personal price. They have trouble talking to their neighbors. They get...
I agree with that.
You know, they get
yes.
All kinds of problems. You know, so there's a lot of silent support out there for Trump. There may even be a silent majority.
Joel, I agree with you on that one. I think that's part of what happens in the polls. I think that's what happened in 2016. I think the exact same thing was going on then. And if anything, and this is where I think the left is doing damage to themselves, if anything, it's probably worse now than it was then because of all of what's happening on the left side of the fence.
Yeah, and it's out of control on the left, and the only way it gets under control is if we have the other kind of red November. We have a red state November where Trump wins in the Electoral College and he takes the presidency again, and Democrats learn that radicalism is not the way to win elections. It's not good for America. We need to have a two-party system where people present different points of view, different policies, but not a system where one party is always trying to overthrow the system. We've had that for three elections in a row where Democrats are talking about fundamental transformation and they want to change everything. You know what? We have a constitution that's lasted for almost 250 years.
Right.
It's a good constitution.
Right.
There's nothing systemically racist about it.
Nope.
It has principles that liberate us.
That's right.
And
that's right.
The principles
well said.
That led us to make our country better.
Well said.
And we do not want to be like the rest of the world. We don't want to go downhill,
and
we have to stand up and stop it.
Again, we're talking to Joel Pollack, senior editor at large of Breitbart. One last question, if you would, if you want to talk about it. The video of the frontline workers on the steps that was been taken down, it's been up, it's been down, all sorts of things going on. You want to talk about that for a moment?
Sure. Well, there was a member of Congress who called a press conference, okay? And we live streamed the press conference. Now, we live stream press conferences for all kinds of people. In fact, we live stream Nancy Pelosi's weekly press briefings, and they happen to be very popular. mostly because people like commenting on it. But,
right, make fun of her. But, right, I get it.
Right, but people watch it.
That's right.
And so a congressman called the press conference with the Tea Party Patriots, and they brought out medical doctors who had views on the treatment of coronavirus. Now, that's a perfectly legitimate subject of public debate and
sure,
discussion.
Sure is.
These are opinions of medical doctors on a public health debate, and it's a live-streamed press conference. Now, there's no way that you can punish a news outlet for simply showing up and turning a camera on.
Right.
For something like that. I mean, now we've had more than 48 hours. Our Twitter account has been shut down, and they haven't given us an answer as to why or when, or no response to our request for an appeal. And the message they're sending is that a media organization can be punished and silenced and have business taken away if you can't vouch for every person or everything they say in the press conference and if the media don't like it. Now, in this case, it happened to be about hydroxychloroquine. I'm not a doctor, and I can't tell you whether it's good or bad. What I do know is that we've heard studies that say it works, and we've heard studies that say it doesn't, and that there are many people who use it without any side effects. And there are people who say that it saved their life. There are people who say that they don't know if it saved their life. Maybe it did nothing. The point is there's no consensus on it. So
correct.
You can't tell us that it's an illegitimate subject for public discussion. It's
right.
It's just frankly irresponsible to tell people you can't talk about something that some people are saying actually works.
And to your defense, you can't be Facebook and Twitter and be a platform for these types of discussions. If you start editing and changing
right.
what people are able to see and not see, you're no longer a platform. Am I right?
Right. You're no longer a platform. You become a publisher, and you should be open to all the lawsuits that other publishers
that's right.
are open to.
That's right. And they're not at this point, which is wrong, by the way.
Right. And it, by the way, they're only applying this to us. They don't apply this to mistakes that are made or lies that are told or even just things that happen at press conference. I mean, Joe Biden told a bunch of lies yesterday.
Yeah,
he did. When he gave a speech in Delaware and he spoke to reporters briefly afterward. Are all the mainstream media organizations going to be shut down because they live-streamed Joe Biden saying things that were wrong and irresponsible? I mean, he's told people that they should – this happened long ago, not this week, but when he was vice president, he told people that the way to protect their home was to take a shotgun
that's
and
right. fire two shots.
The door.
That's right. That's right.
I mean – you know, any responsible gun owner will tell you how crazy that is. And it's harmful advice, but do the media outlets who aired him saying that get shut down? No, it's newsworthy. And that's the point. The press conference we aired was newsworthy.
Yes, it
people
was.
People do want to know about hydroxychloroquine. I happen to know people who took it when they were sick. I don't know that many people, thank God, who had coronavirus, but I do know one or two, and sometimes friends of friends, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And some people have taken it. And some people say they don't know whether it helped them or not, but that some people in their lives, like parents or friends, are convinced that it did. And the thing is, we've had it around for so long to treat malaria.
It's not going to kill you.
Right. We know it doesn't
have side
effects for most people. I mean, there are some circumstances.
You could say that about anything, Joel.
Yeah, you could. And the point is, we are being silenced merely because a doctor in a white lab coat
that's right.
said something about it.
That's right.
You know, the right answer to that is if you disagree, is more speech, not less speech.
Right. That's right.
You need to have
that's
more
right.
voices,
well said.
Not fewer.
Well
yeah.
said. Good stuff. Okay, Joel, I'll let you go. I really appreciate your time. 100th interview. Thank you for making it part of our day. We appreciate that very much. Joel Pollack, Senior Editor-at-Large of Breitbart. Keep up the great work, by the way, Joel. I appreciate it very much. And, you know, best of luck on the book. Where can folks buy it one more time?
It's at centerstreet.com or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold.
All right, perfect. Joel, thank you so much. I appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Sir. Take care. Great interview, Joel Pollack, the 100th interview on his book, Red November, Will the Country Vote Red for Trump or Red for Socialism? American National Insurance is next. My insurance agent, Paul Leuenberger, would love to help you out with all of your insurance needs. And all you do is call him directly. He'll do it over the phone. It's easy. He can do it all that way. It's not hard. You can meet with him as well. But if you want to just do it over a phone, he can do that. 303-662-0789.
These past few months have been all about prioritizing what matters and what doesn't. Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance gives you the coverage you need and not what you don't. It's the worst feeling when something unexpected happens that you thought your insurance policy would cover, but it doesn't. Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance saves you from those kinds of surprises. He understands, though, that you don't want more home and auto coverage than you need. To be honest, you may not know what your current policy covers, not to mention home and auto policies change all the time. Especially in Colorado, hail and windstorms tend to hike up your premium costs year after year. Remove the mystery and decide what's important to you. Have a conversation now with Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance. He will give you options so you can choose the coverage you need and not what you don't. Call the personal insurance agent of John Rush today, 303-662-0789, or visit rushtoreason.com to find Paul.
All right, up next, Enchanted Kitchens. And if your kitchen is not the enchanted part of your home, everybody just comes and hangs out and they talk about how what the wow factor was like when you actually, when they leave, I should say, make it that way. Make it a wow factor of your home. You can do that with Enchanted Kitchens. Go to klzradio.com/kitchens or enchantedkitchens.net.
Your kitchen doesn't work. Think about how much time you spend in your kitchen every day, just standing at your countertops or reaching into your cabinets. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens looks beyond color palettes and materials to help you find a layout that works, so you can have a pleasant experience in your kitchen, not a frustrating or uncomfortable one. The Enchanted Kitchens design team understands that a new kitchen is a big investment and one that you need to love for years to come. That's why they take their time with the decision-making process, meeting with you for free in their Experience Center, so you can see, touch, and feel a kitchen that works. Mention Rush to Reason, and you will receive a free, no-obligation, in-home design consultation. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens now and start designing a kitchen that works. Enchanted Kitchens, where magic meets design.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Should I stay or should I go? That is a question a lot of us are asking ourselves as we look at the political landscape. Kim Munson here. Friday, Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, joins me to share his perspective about his op-ed, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Plus, Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, updates us on the latest in these hot markets. All this Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
All right, folks, I know I went long there with our editor at Breitbart, Joel Pollack, but great interview, great guy, and there is a guy that really is standing up for us on a regular basis, whether he's interviewed in a conservative show or a liberal show. He stands up, tells the truth every single time. And you heard him do just that here a moment ago when it came to the particular live stream they had that has now since been taken down by Facebook and Twitter and so on. And it's just ridiculous, folks. We've got these I call them, they are publishers. You can call Facebook and Twitter platforms all you want, but the reality is they are publishers. They are limiting the types of information that you're able to actually glean on those particular sites. I am not even going to call them platforms because they're not. They are actual editors, if you would. They are basically doing the same thing that a CNN, a Fox News, or anybody else out there would be doing. And in turn, they should be able to, or they should be able to come underneath the same scrutiny, lawsuits, and so on that publishers do. That's what they're doing. They are publishing content. They are limiting the content that you as a user are able to actually look at and glean from those sites, which means they are no longer a platform whereby, you know, things can be put out and you can, you know, view it. Now, some of you would say, well, that means they should be able to allow nudity and everything else on there. No, that's not what we're saying. They have certain guidelines that they should be able to, you know, to be able to allow and not allow when it comes to those sorts of things. But when it comes to particular interviews like this one on the steps of a Houston hospital, when they're limiting your ability to actually, you know, think for yourself and glean all of that information that's out there, they are now a publisher and they are no longer a platform. It's not one and the same as allowing pornography to be seen. You can't compare those two together. They are not one and the same. So with that, I know we got one last break we need to take. Bruce Simmons, who I want to honor, and he's a great guy. You hear him every Thursday from 2:30 to 3 o'clock right here on KLZ. And I know Bruce, again, just like a lot of the other guys in the mortgage world, very, very busy right now. So if you need something, call him. He'll get back to you. But there's a lot going on in that world as well, the reverse mortgage world, I should say. So if you need any information when it comes to reverse mortgage, Bruce is our guy. He is our professor. He knows it like the back of his hand. So if you're sitting on a pile of equity, you want to know how to tap into it, contact Bruce today, 303-467-7821.
You should never need to worry about losing your home in retirement. KLZ's reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has only one goal: to relieve your burden of uncertainty, giving you the confidence that you may stay in your home as long as you wish. Call Bruce Simmons now and breathe a sigh of relief about your housing expenses. You worry about retiring primarily because you don't know what the future holds. The unknown feels daunting. The Reverse Mortgage Loan Program exists to give you certainty about the future. You will still need to pay your property taxes and homeowners insurance, continue living in the home as your primary residence, and maintain your home. But as long as you meet those basic requirements, the Federal Housing Administration guarantees that the bank cannot take your house ever. Call KLZ's reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, with American Liberty Mortgage today, and never worry about losing your home again. Call 303-467-7821.
Now, both Greenies and Blueies can listen to Rush to Reason again and again with the official KLZ app, now available in both Apple and Android stores, the KLZ Radio mobile app.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. That's about it for this hour. Next hour, we have author Ryan Gudurski joining us. And again, we're going to talk about Biden and the election that's coming up. Many people are anticipating a secret Trump vote. We just talked about that with our senior editor at Breitbart, Joel Pollack, a minute ago. So we're going to talk about that again, get a different viewpoint here at the top of the hour. So that's coming up at the top of the hour. And then Doug Giles is going to join us. And he's talking about Trump again and the Nero Newsom, Governor Nero Newsom. He calls him Nero. So we'll talk about that as well. Doug Giles joining us as well. So we got a lot going on this next hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.